News Talk Saturday.
As you know, on Thursday, absolutely earth-shattering events, and I don't use that lightly, when we saw Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, as he is currently known, arrested. He was held in custody for 12 hours, but he has been released onto his residence in Sandringham Estate. Where does this story go, and where does the British royal family as an institution, where does it morph and go into evolution from here on in? I'm joined now by Adam Bolton, who's a well-known, of course, to many of our audience as a broadcaster and also a commentator more generally with Sky News. Adam, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
It's great to have you. Adam, we know everything happened on Thursday, and I suppose everyone's guessing and probing around where this goes from here. The man has not been charged. He is obviously innocent until proven guilty. But just give us a sense from where you are and your vantage point of how much this has rocked the institution itself. I know a lot of the portrayal is Andrew is a separate, he's sort of sequestered away from the wider family. But do you see that continuing, or do you think the whole institution could be sucked into this story that just seems to have so many different legs to it?
Well, there is, of course, a constitutional question which has opened up this weekend, which is the fact that Andrew is eighth in line to the throne. And ministers have been saying they would be prepared to put through an Act of Parliament, which would require votes in both the Commons and the Lords, and a royal assent from the King, to remove him from the line of succession. And it appears that that will probably be the constitutional endpoint for Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, because the vibes coming out of Buckingham Palace and the government are that they are prepared to do this, although that would only be once the criminal process, if it comes to that, has been concluded. As you say, Andrew has been released subject to investigation. He's not on bail, but he is still subject to investigation. And one other interesting development is that his close security, the protection officers who've been travelling with him, have been told that it's okay for them to give evidence against him if they feel that's appropriate. Now, what's interesting about that is it's unlikely that they'll know about the emails which he's been sending out to Jeffrey Epstein, the exposure of which has caused this crisis, but they may well know if he's been up to no good in terms of sexual liaisons.
Now, in some senses, Adam, would you agree with this? There's only so much that the royal family can do to him. Yes, they can take him out of the line of succession and so on, but he has to live somewhere. He probably has to be afforded some level of security going forward. So, you know what I mean? They can't entirely cut him off. There are some just practical necessities that will still apply here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he has no money and as far as we know, apart from what he's inherited, no source of income. And both he and his ex-wife, Sarah Ferguson, were known to be extremely extravagant. Now, an opinion poll today in British newspapers is showing that the majority of public think that the King should cut him off. Absolutely. I don't think there's any question of that. He will continue to be a remittance man, a maintained man kept on the Sandringham estate in rather relatively humble abode compared to what he's used to. And I think most people would expect that at a brotherly level, that's what the King should do. But it could get a lot worse for Andrew. I mean, it's certainly not out of the cards that he will be prosecuted and could potentially be given a jail sentence.
Now, a lot of this is, as of now, centering around the idea of misconduct in public office. So that's the current investigation. Do you think there'll be frustration in Britain more widely if that's what he is charged with, as opposed to all the other things that you're talking about in relation to trafficking, underage sex and so on? In other words, if they get him on misconduct in public office, will that trigger a lot of frustration in the British public that it isn't that wider charge that's getting looked at?
Well, it's a bit like the old Al Capone situation, isn't it? That Al Capone wasn't done for gangsterism, he was done for tax evasion. I think there is a feeling that Prince Andrew is a miscreant, something that the public has suspected for a very long time. And it's certainly noticeable that the Joffrey family, the family of Virginia Joffrey, the woman that Andrew, who has supposed to have slept with, who, of course, committed suicide recently, their family have welcomed this prosecution. So I think there is a feeling at the moment that if he's brought to justice at all, that will satisfy some of the mood against him. Although, of course, there is still the question as to whether he should testify in the United States, either to the Congress or to a criminal investigation if one is reopened there. And certainly, again, the signals coming from the king with that famous quote, "The law must take its course," is that he is not going to stand in the way and may even, I think, start pushing his brother in the direction of coming clean to the American authorities.
Yeah, and I mean, can you imagine if this case happens, who would the witnesses be? It could bring in a lot of very powerful and influential figures. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is a bit, is maybe pull the lens back out a bit more wider, and that is the royal family as an institution. We know from public information that the royals collectively gave a £12 million loan to what was then Prince Andrew to settle the case with Virginia Giuffre. We know that the Queen Elizabeth was part of that, Prince Philip's estate and so on. So, like, all these other issues that seem, certainly from this side of the Irish Sea, would be, you know, quite well discussed and ventilated, seem to be very marginal in the way this has been covered. I mean, do you find that peculiar, or is that just the way it is?
Well, I think things are changing pretty rapidly. We have MPs now saying that they are prepared to look into this affair through parliamentary committees, which is certainly something that there's been a convention, really, not to examine the private affairs of the royal family too closely. That appears to have been broken. Likewise, all these things are being discussed in the British press, which is very different from 1938 and the abdication crisis of Edward VIII, where you remember it was almost all reported in the foreign press, not in the domestic press. So as far as any sort of mood to save the royal family from scrutiny, I think that has, to a certain extent, gone away. That said, I think it's fair to say that there remains a continuous affection for the service of the late Queen Elizabeth II. And according to opinion polls, although Prince Charles, when he was a prince, was not a particular popular figure, most people in opinion polls certainly are giving him relatively good ratings for the way he's performed since he became King Charles III.
Now, one thing I do notice when you look at the polling, and maybe this is, you know, more from your political years covering these things, when you look at the younger demographics, you do see a lot less trust, faith, reputational support for the royal family among people below 40 years of age, and then you see it trending into much firmer support in older demographics. Is that the way it's always been, or do you think there's actually a trend that the royal family might have to be concerned about there?
Well, it's not just the royal family, is it? I mean, you get the same sort of indications about mainstream political parties, the Labour and the Conservative Party, and the various political leaders we've had recently. And there's no doubt about it that there appears to be a crisis of confidence in the establishment, which embraces the royal family and the traditional parties of government in this country. I should say we're not the only country necessarily where that seems to be reflected in opinion polls, including your own, I think.
No, that's fair. Absolutely fair. I'm just more wondering, like, if you know, you need your future adherents, the royal family need to command some kind of, you know, respect, support from the future, you know, citizens of Britain, so our subjects. Does that get worry you at all when you look at those numbers?
I think they should be concerned, and I think they're very aware of it. I think under King Charles, really, they've tried to concentrate as much as they can on King Charles and his heir, Prince William, the Prince of Wales. And of course, they've had all the embarrassments around Prince Harry, who is, if you like, the Prince Andrew of his generation in terms of being the spare with no real plan in life once he left the military. So I think what they're attempting to do is to concentrate this around a kind of dutiful line, which would include King Charles and the Prince of Wales and probably the Princess Royal, although she obviously is getting on a bit now. I think the problem with that is it's far from clear that Prince William wishes to really take the role of being the monarch in waiting. Obviously, he's had the problem of his wife, Catherine, having a cancer diagnosis, but it is noticeable that the number of public engagements which he's prepared to do is much less than the previous generation. And, the problem is if the royal family aren't out there doing royal family type of things, then obviously the need or even noticing them becomes a lot less.
Yeah, and I do notice it popping up in coverage over there. You know, you do see the Republic movement and so on getting some airtime, which they don't normally get. So they're sort of, I suppose, piggybacking on the misfortunes of the royal family. The other part I wanted to ask you about is we're obviously good, we could talk a year from now and we can see this story deepening and widening. This element about the trafficking into London airports and so on, is that the sort of the next part of the story? If you were sort of a crime and security correspondent, is that where you think the action will be? That whole thing about people coming in and out of British airports, it already seems to be building up a bit of head of steam.
Well, it's certainly noticeable that the former Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, who since leaving office has taken a lot of interest in modern slavery and trafficking, is providing, and remember, he was once a journalist as well, he is providing police forces with dossiers of evidence about the activities of Jeffrey Epstein's planes and who came in and who went out and how many trips there were. Now, that could certainly reflect on Prince Andrew in terms of if there's evidence that women who he then is proven to have seen came in that way, that would increase his problems. I think the real issue, though, is where the Americans are going with this, because we have to remember Jeffrey Epstein is dead. Officially, he committed suicide while he was in jail, although many people doubt whether that's the case. So the question will be, I think, whether the evidence about trafficking and the use of the plane, which, of course, is an American offence, trafficking, whether the Americans feel that they're people that they can prosecute being involved in that.
Fascinating. Many more layers to go. We'll keep both of us busy. Thank you very much. Adam Bolton, of course, well-known broadcaster and commentator with Sky News over the years, bringing us up to speed from the other side of the Irish Sea.
News Talk Saturday.